Hey, Rock Movers. I cannot wait to introduce you to Season 4's guest. Welcome, Rock Movers. Today's guest is next level, and I mean that literally. Alan Lazaros is with Next Level Universe, and together with his partner, they have Next Level University. Now, today we get to talk about his unique background, where at age 2, his father passed away. At age 26, he nearly passed away himself in a car accident, and how he turned it all around to create this next level life. It's an amazing conversation. I know you're going to get so much value from it. He leads a global team, teaches one-on-one, coaches groups, teams, and speaks from the stage with a heart that's all about helping you have your next level life. Hey, Rock Movers, you heard his bio. You've heard how amazing this gentleman is, and he is moving rocks for women all around the world. And men, but today, you know, my heart's for women. So welcome to the podcast, Alan Lazaros. Did I get it right?
You did. You did. Yay. Strong work.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, names are important. We want to get them right. So thanks, Alan, for being here and sharing your story and what you do at Next Level University with our crew.
Thank you for having me. I was thinking about this earlier, just sort of preparing. I researched your show and I just thought to myself, and I try to think about this for every interview. I feel very grateful at this stage to be given a platform to speak into the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. I have had books and podcasts that have really changed my life. And so at this stage, I do not take it lightly that you have me here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, I feel like for an entrepreneur, especially, the most valuable thing that we have to give anyone is our time. So when someone shares their time with me and my audience, my people, I agree. It's such a blessing. It's the thing that we can give that nobody else can give. So thank you for that.
You are welcome. Starting with gratitude. I love it.
That's right. Well, you know, we lead with that and that just leads to all great paths. So my favorite question, if anybody's watched the show before, you know, my first question is, as a rock mover on this podcast, we talk about moving rocks out of our bag and carrying the light, beautiful lessons forward. So in your past, personal or professional, what has been the most monumental or instrumental rock that you've moved for yourself?
So what came up for me, because I did anticipate that question, and so I didn't talk about my father's death until I was in my 20s. And so my father passed away when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
In a car accident when he was 28. And the biggest rock for me was just sort of not really facing that or dealing with that. And I didn't know consciously that I wasn't dealing with it. But after 26, I got in my own car accident. And I can go through this story if you want me to at some point. But essentially, I got in a car accident at 26 that was definitely not a fender bender. It was one of those situations where I've seen pictures of his car, I've seen pictures of my car, and at the time I was driving a 2004 Volkswagen Passat that I used to call the tank, because this was a German engineered steel trap of a car, and I'm convinced this car saved my life. And I was just trying to invest all my money in tech companies and save as much as I could. So I bought it in cash, $5,000. I didn't care about cars. I cared about tech investments, and the car saved my life. So I'm very grateful for that. But after that was sort of my quarter life crisis. Mm. That was my existential crisis. That was for me when I got the second chance my dad never got. And so the biggest rock that I can think of is after that car accident, I started to really, in hindsight, I now understand that prior to that car accident at 26, I was an achiever and I was very professionally developed and I was always improvement oriented towards achievements. I always worked really hard at everything I did and I was very much an achiever. I believed in my ability to achieve. But what I didn't do is a lot of self-improvement. So I did a ton of improvement, but not self-improvement. And so the best way I can describe it is prior to 26, I was successful from the outside in. Top 1% global earner, making almost $200,000 a year. I always have to specify earner because not net worth, but earner.
Right.
And that's global too, not just in the US, because that's not top 1% in the US. But anyways, so I did really well in corporate. I was professionally developed. I was a computer engineer with a master's in business, and I was doing very well in the economy. But and I had tons of high school friends and corporate friends and college friends, and I did a lot of partying, and I had a beautiful girlfriend, and I had the quote unquote American dream. But I was very successful from the outside in, but I wasn't taking care of my health. Fitness was not a priority. Self-improvement was not a priority. Personal development was not a priority. So professional development, academics, achievement was such a priority. But personal development, self-improvement, inner work, therapy, that kind of stuff was not. And so post 26, I went back through all my old associations. I actually called one of my very first girlfriends who I was with at the tail end of high school, early college days. And I actually asked her some questions to get feedback on the self. This is the first time I had really opened my mind to like a lot of self feedback. I think we're all good at taking feedback. Usually either you're good at taking feedback about process and achievement and stuff, or you're good at taking feedback from self. Yeah. And some of us are good at neither. And then some are good at both, but very, very
some
few
of us
are
avoid
good.
it altogether.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Some people really do avoid it altogether.
Yes.
And that's why Netflix is so popular, because there's no feedback on self, right? You can enjoy these adventures, but you don't have to actually look at yourself at
right.
all. But anyways, so post car accident, existential crisis, all the regrets, second chance my dad never got. I called up my ex-girlfriend, Alyssa, who I was with off and on for 4.5 years through early high school, late high school, early college. And I said, one of the questions that I was getting feedback on was, what did you notice about me? Is there anything you noticed that I might not have noticed about myself? Do you see any blind spots? And she said, you never, ever, ever talked about your dad. No one in your family ever talked about your dad. And so now I do. I share that story on my podcast. I share that story on other podcasts. His name was John. And my real last name is actually McCorkle. So John McCorkle was my father. And I had a stepfather whose name was Steve Lazarus. And so I took his last name. But that's my biggest unburdening, so to speak, is just kind of facing the realities of my childhood. And it's not pretty.
Wow. Well, first off, thank you for sharing that, for being vulnerable. And I'm really sorry for the loss of your father. I can relate to this in so many ways because I was adopted when I was born, or at a month old, but my father, birth father, also passed in a car accident. I would have been 6 at the time. So I never got to know him. I never got to meet him. And until I found my birth family when I was in my 20s, I was 24. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know his name. I didn't know what he looked like. I had no context. I just had this imaginary expectation that one day I would meet him and run into his arms and have this happy reunion that never occurred, never can occur because of that loss. So I understand how final that is and how it's a duality of avoidance, acceptance, and grief. Like you're constantly this little piece of grief that can never go away because you can never mend it. So I get all that. And I get how there's also the lesson and the blessing of this man existed and I'm here because of him. And so by honoring the name, calling the name, just like we do with anyone that's passed, recognizing the name, recognizing their memories, their photos, their impact on this planet, the peace and the energy of them continues. So thank you for honoring him in that way today and calling his name, his full name, because I feel like that has so much power.
It does. You know, when we first got on the mics in the pre-call, you had mentioned you wanted to make sure you pronounce my last name right, which I really appreciated. The truth of the matter is I don't really care if you pronounce his last name right, my stepfather's, but I'd probably feel differently if my name was still McCorkle.
Wow. Okay. So I'm like tearing up because that is like, How relevant is that? And how many can relate to this? The things that matter, they matter so much. And it's those things, because my father's name was, and this is kind of funny. Well, not funny, but fortuitous. My father's name, birth father, is James Edward Elliott. My brother, his son from his wife when he passed, was James Zachary Elliott. I had a son before I ever knew who my father was, and his name is Jimmy. My father went by Jim. My brother goes by Jim, and I named my son Jim before I knew my father's name was Jim. So it's just funny how the energy and or the epigenetics and the DNA and all of that was all there, and it just worked out that way. But so yeah, Alan McCorkle.
I never used to talk about that either. That's the interesting thing. And
yeah.
And the thing that I didn't learn until my 30s when I started doing more therapy. I started doing therapy at all.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I often joke. I say, guys can't even ask for directions. Never mind, get a therapist. Right. It requires humility, men. We don't have that as a natural
well,
strength.
Well, and it's not always safe to be vulnerable as a man, right, especially in today's times. So I get that.
Exactly. Yeah. Rub some dirt in it. Right.
Yeah.
So
shake it off.
It's all good. Yeah.
And
it's
bones
not.
And blood. Shake
yeah.
it off.
It's not all good. But I didn't realize this until I started reflecting and rewatching the movie of my own life. Like, obviously, you've done a lot of.
Yeah.
And I always use the analogy of I rode my bike to see Finding Nemo. I think it was way back 2002, maybe 2001, something like that. And I saw it again as an adult. And you realize when you watch a movie as an adult that you saw as a kid, you see all these things you never saw before. Jokes you never got. Oh, right.
Right.
And the same thing is true for your life. And so if you are blessed with a great memory, you can rewatch the movie of your own life and you can reinvest that new awareness into the future. And so I've rewatched the movie of my own life in some ways to learn my story so that I can articulate it on podcasts, but in other ways, just in therapy and trying to heal and just understand too. And it's not pretty. And it's so weird too, because nowadays I do look very much, and I understand why this is people's first impression. I really do, but I look like a silver spooner. I you know, very well academics. I went to some of the best colleges in the world. I went to one of the best tech schools in the world, best college in the world. I got my master's degree. I'm a white Caucasian American male, born in a country that has a lot of abundance economically. Obviously, the U.S. has a lot of wealth in it. But I grew up in an environment that was the opposite of any level of silver spoon. And so it's this interesting thing now where the way that I am perceived from the outside in is so unreasonably different from what the inside out actually was. And if I continued on that path of not being willing to share that story and to share my father's death and to share the alcohol problems in my childhood and to share the fact that my stepdad left when I was 14 and took 90% of the income with him. And I didn't even know how I was going to go to school, to college, and didn't share how in some ways I lost three families by the time I was 14, because my birth father's side of the family, we didn't really talk to because we were trying to be the Lazaruses. So, you know, it was John, Joe, Jim, Jane, Joan, Jeanette, big Irish Catholic family. And those were the McCorkles. And we didn't really talk to the McCorkles while my stepfather was around. And my stepfather was Lazarus. And I changed my name. My sister changed her name. We were sort of a family. So, or at least we were trying to be family in quotes, right?
Yeah.
But in any case, it's funny now, but it really wasn't good. But we didn't really talk to that side of the family, my birth father's side. And then when he left, my stepfather, he took his entire extended family with him. I haven't seen any of them since. Not a single one of them. I talked to him on Facebook Messenger a little bit. And then at the same time, my sister moves out. She's older than me. She was six when my father died. I was two. So she's three years older. And I was almost three at that point. So she moves out with her older boyfriend. I'm 14 years old. Then at that same time, my mom gets in a fight with her sister, my Aunt Sandy. And then my Aunt Sandy ostracizes us from that side of the family. So by the time I'm 14 years old, it's just me and my mom in that house. My stepdad got the yacht and the apartment building. We got the house and the dog. And I went from sort of upper middle class, late 90s, early 2000s, economically well off with my stepdad, even though things at home weren't great, to I get free lunch at school now. I am shopping at Salvation Army for clothing. I don't know how I'm going to go to my dream college, even if I get in. WPI was 50 grand a year back then. And WPI is like a mini MIT for those of you who don't know it. And it was my dream since I was 10 years old to be an engineer and to be a Fortune 50 CEO of a tech company one day. And I had these huge dreams, but I started from just such an interesting beginning. And so it's just fascinating now at this stage. I'm 35 now. I often joke I'm hoping to hit 36, puberty at 36. But you look back and you go, oh, okay. All right. So, wow, that is different than what I had deluded myself into thinking it was. And it turns out no one in my environment was super well developed in hindsight compared to what I've become. And then now we're really successful and we're coming up on 1 million listens and $1 million and we're doing really well. We have a 21 person team and that's all great. And I really do. I think it's great. I do. It's awesome. And we help people all over the world. That's great. But I'm perceived as this. When people first meet me, it's okay, tall, well off, intelligent, well educated, professionally developed, silver spooner. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. So don't judge a book by its cover. And it
And I
wasn't until
think
I was able to go ahead.
that really
Sorry.
applies to everybody, right? We should never assume or prejudge, because even if someone looks like they're on their, well, I will tell you, some of the wealthiest people I've ever met looked like hobos. Like they literally did not have, they didn't have a care in the world. Like they dressed the way they wanted to. They were savants in their field, and they did not look like money.
I call it
And
the
some of,
inverse 10 law. If someone is portraying tons of success, they're actually 1/10 as success as you think, as
that's
successful as
often
you
the
think.
case.
And if they're not portraying success, they might be 10 times more successful than you think. So social media, everyone's portraying all this success, right? And trust me, I coach a lot of people from all over the world. At this point, I'm coming up on my 10,000 hours of podcasting, speaking, training, coaching, workshops. And I'm telling you, behind the curtain, I mean, it's just fascinating to see, oh, it looks like high rises and BMWs and yachts and boat, and it's that person's broke as a joke. And
Broke
then you
is
see these other people who you said look like homeless, and they're just wealthy as it gets. And so you gotta look behind the curtain, I think is the lesson there.
And truly, it's a lesson in humility and just how do you love and operate with gratitude and grace and love for people at whatever stage they're in, because you never, ever, ever know what's truly going on. Some of the people who are the nastiest people in the world are just hurt. And some of the people who are the funniest and the sweetest and the most comical are desperately masking a depression. And so we just don't know what people are going through. And so operating with love and kindness and grace and humility should just be our standard operating procedures. It just should be your SOPs. Like in life as a human, just that's your SOP. Just show up with grace and love.
Nice. It's a good analogy. SOP.
but okay, so you've got this amazing, incredible journey of opportunities and lessons that you've learned about what you don't want to be and how you don't want to operate and how life can not look the way optimal way that you want it to be. And you've now moved those rocks for yourself. And now you've got this beautiful backpack full of all of these lessons and new things and new opportunities that you can use. How are you using those lessons to help people now that you've had this awakening and epiphany of life handing you this, like a life university, right? You've got the wonderful education through the college, but you also got this wonderful life education and doctorate in how to be a great human.
Yeah, so the fascinating thing about that is I always say there's two types of adversity in life. There is the adversity that life's going to throw at you. The frequency, intensity, density, and duration of that adversity will vary. Obviously, mine was on the statistically on the very high end, it turns out, which I didn't know because you don't know any different growing up. Yeah,
Absolutely.
it's the water you're swimming in. And then the other type of adversity is having huge goals and dreams. I chose both.
Way to set the bar high.
And so, but I didn't understand that I did that because I had no idea. And this is one thing that I want to bring to everyone who is out there listening. People with high self-belief don't know that other people don't have it.
True.
So I just was a kid who had a very powerful mind, math and science guy. I call it STEM BIF, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, business, and finance, just my jam. And you don't know that you have something other people don't, but they do know that you do, but they fake it. And so people are deeply insecure, particularly about their own goals and dreams and their own future. And I'm really not. But I am insecure about being villainized and disliked. And so I see the world in these two sort of main categories. And I don't want to overly label anybody, but one category is very sure of themselves in terms of their future. They know they're going to build it. They know they can build it. They know they can do it. They know how to reverse engineer it. They've got it. SOPs, blah, 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 blah. They can do it. They're achievers. And they believe in themselves. They really do. Otherwise, they wouldn't have goals. No one has goals who doesn't believe in themselves. But they're not relatable. I looked up the research. It's a very small percentage of people that set and achieve goals. It's actually a very small percentage.
So I
Everyone
would
has.
challenge your statement that no one sets goals that doesn't believe in themselves, because I feel like there's a huge population that sets goals and don't believe. That's why they don't achieve them.
I think that they set goals because they think they're supposed to, and they set goals that are beyond what they believe at the time.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
I don't actually do that. And I didn't know that until later.
Okay.
I actually reverse engineer it in advance and then decide in advance to make all the sacrifices. If you've ever told anyone a goal or a dream and they were like, yeah, you can do it, right? And then you do it and they're like, oh my God, look, you did it. Holy crap. And you go, oh, so you thought I was just saying stuff. Got it. So my point of this is if you do have ridiculously high self-belief, I have found that you are not super relatable. Okay. It's not easy to fit in. It's hard to fit in a barbecue when you have massive goals and dreams that you really do intend on. Okay. Not a wish, not a New Year's resolution, but real. And unfortunately, the people that don't have that are struggling with self-doubt and insecurity and are lost and they don't have a big bright future, they actually puff up around you or they go docile. So there's those two fawn response
Absolutely.
or fight puffer fish. I call it the puffer fish and the turtle. So everyone's either turtling around you or
That. I am so stealing that. I am
the
so stealing that. Pufferfish or turtle, because I can see. You can visualize that, y'all, right? Everybody just saw the two people who puff out their chest and they get all big and bad, or they want to challenge you or one up you, right? They're going to one up you every
the
time. I did this.
one-uppers.
Oh, yeah, me too. I did this, this, this. Or the turtle who just like, oh, me.
Yeah, exactly. The turtle owns that they don't believe in themselves and they kind of hide and avoid and fawn. The puffer fish is usually the bullies of the world that are always trying to one-up you and they want to put you down because their building isn't tall enough, that whole thing. So the other camp is people who are easily relatable and easily likable. So I've never felt that way personally. I always felt like, so Kevin and I, my business partner, Kevin and I didn't learn this until, but he's the other end of it. We call it the drive to five. So on the 10 end, these are the overconfident, overachievers who grind their face off for everything and they make everyone around them insecure with their accomplishments. So I was on that end. He was on the other end of self-doubt. The best way to describe the drive to five is a 10 is someone who thinks they're too good and doesn't need a mentor. A zero is someone who doesn't believe they can get a mentor or
They don't
doesn't believe they
deserve it.
deserve a mentor. Yeah, exactly. And so I was on the 10 end, he was on the zero end. We went to high school together and middle school together, and eventually we partnered up in our mid-20s because he had a sort of quarter life crisis at that same time. And we started a podcast together. So we started to learn, oh, okay, so we both didn't have fathers. We both have low self-worth, and we all both want to be a male role model because we didn't have one. And you don't believe in yourself at all. And I believe in myself so much that I'm actually delusional. And so we figured out, and I was professionally developed, but he was personally developed, and I knew I'd be successful, but I wasn't sure I'd be fulfilled. He knew he'd be fulfilled, but didn't know if he'd be successful. His relationships always worked easily. My relationships weren't great. So we drove to five, and we both centered up, for lack of better phrasing. We both matured and grew together over the last 9 years,
I love
really.
That.
And so the two camps are when we give a speech, right? So we gave this one speech at a high school, which was really cool because it was 300 middle schoolers, eighth grade. Then it was immediately the same speech for freshmen and sophomores, and then the same speech for juniors and seniors. So you got to see the ego develop. It was real, because I thought our first one was the worst one, but it did the best. Oh, the middle schoolers are more open-minded. By the time we get to the juniors and seniors, they're kind of making fun of us.
Yeah.
Growth mindset, bro, right?
Yeah, right?
It was so interesting. But
Wow. When
I give a speech, I'm not concerned about whether or not it will be valuable. I'm not concerned about the craft or my communication or being smart or professional or anything like that. I am concerned about being villainized, disliked, and hated. I'm not an easily likable person. I've never felt like being an easily likable person. Kev knows he's going to be liked and funny and everyone's going to love him, but he doesn't know if he'll add value. So we have this interesting understanding of the world. To answer your original question, is you got to figure out what end you're on, because every piece of advice is either good or not. It's constructive or destructive for you. The medicine that will cure one patient will actually kill another. And that's why podcasting is so difficult, because you can't give anyone advice, really. Because I can say right now, everyone out there needs to work harder. That's not true.
Yeah.
You might be a workaholic like me who needs to actually take R&R. But
yeah,
if you want to take R&R and you like, if I say you need to rest more and you like that, trust me, you need to work more. And that, right? Because I don't want to take R&R. That's why I need to.
Yeah.
You don't want to work. That's why you need to. And so everything is sort of this ambidextrous center point. We're all righty or lefty, and we all think we're right, which is why we're all wrong.
I love it. So I was in financial advisory for 15 years and the banking world for 30, and took such opposition to like the Susie Ormans and Dave Ramseys of the world. Their message is great for some people. For others, it's completely catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
You can't generalize advice to a broad audience. And so, although I love the message of, you know, what Dave Ramsey teaches, I just feel like there's such a disconnect, because the people who really need the help are going to, as you said, they're going to take it and they're going to run with it, and it's going to fulfill an agenda that's self-destructive.
Yep. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to anything. There are just universal principles, but it depends on the goal, the circumstance, the person, the core values. It depends on it. That's why I love one-on-one coaching.
Right.
Because I can, the advice that I give, the guidance that I give to one person is for their goal. It's completely contextual. What are your goals? Mm-hmm. Who are you really? Not who you're pretending to be, but who are you really behind the scenes when no one's watching? What do you really want in life? What are your core values? What was your past like? What do you want your future to look like? Like, think about, that's why books are so fascinating. It's like, what's a good example? Okay, the 4-Hour Workweek is a perfect example. It's a really irresponsible title, in my opinion. Have you ever read the 4-Hour Workweek?
I have, yeah.
Okay, all right. So it's a great book, but the title is very irresponsible.
Right.
I would read a book like that, and I already work 60 hours a week, and I love to work, and I love my work, and I'm very much an achiever. So for me, the teachings in that book will help me leverage more and actually buy back more of my time. But for a college student eating Cheetos who already is chilling, making him believe, or she believe, that she can be wealthy without any effort is just destructive.
Yeah, it's irresponsible.
It's irresponsible. And that's why I don't like dishonest books. Dishonest marketing titles bother me so much. And that's
Yeah,
why my
this is
book title is going to be The Lonely Achiever's Guide to Success and Fulfillment. It's just simple. A practical, no nonsense guide. No
No
nonsense.
sex in business either.
Yeah,
We're
no.
just
You
clearing that
funny.
up right now. You heard it here. There's no sex in this book.
Yeah, there's
Okay.
no. You heard it here. You heard it here first. I gotta really practice this thing, apparently. A practical, no nonsense guide to stay in alignment, achieve your goals and dreams, and design a life you love on your own terms. But the whole book is gonna literally be the most boring stuff ever. The reason why is because the unsexy answers are always the ones that are the most honest.
Yeah. Well, and those are the ones that we avoid searching for, but need to hear.
100%.
Right? We want to hear the silver bullet answers. We want to hear the 4-hour work week answers, right? We want to hear that, I can be a millionaire by just dancing on TikTok. I want to hear that. I want to know how to do that.
Coach Karen, I joke, and again, I do respect him for as I do, but like kind of not too. That dude works 70 hours a week every week. You know what I mean? It's like, brother, come on, man. Come on. Right. So,
Let's be
yeah.
honest.
What did you ever hear the quote? The only person who got rich off the 4-hour work week is Tim Ferriss.
I haven't heard that one, but that's hilarious. But there's also, what is work to one person is pure pleasure to another. I love to work as well. I love to be creative. And when I'm in my creative flow, I'm productive, but it doesn't feel like work, right? The work are the things that I don't want to do, right? The client acquisitions and the things that are super uncomfortable, that feels like work. So, it's all subjective and it's really hard to label, but I love that you've brought just so much practical advice to our call today, and would love for our listeners to check out your one-on-one coaching, because you do offer group coaching and one-on-one coaching. And when they go to your website, which I pulled it up and I'm just like, man, these guys have so much that they're offering. So
You're so
the
sweet. I appreciate
podcast
it.
is Next Level University. Is that the podcast? But the
Spelt just
website
like it
is
sounds.
Next Level Universe, because it's not just about one thing, it's about a whole universe of things. So Next
That's
Level
exactly what we
Universe.
hoped people would think. Thank
That's what I
you.
took away
And the
from it.
person who has that URL is asking for way too much money.
Truth,
So on
right?
principle, it's about the whole universe of Next Level. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I have a business that I'm starting with my best friend, and it's destinationawaken.world. And
Nice.
so we have, speaking and podcasting and all the things, and they'll all be awaken your potential, awaken your,
Nice.
all the different things. But it's about the world, right? It's about this whole, we didn't
Yeah.
take the universe, we just took the world.
Okay,
So you
fair.
guys are
So I'll
applying
take
for
the
the universe.
universe, you take the world. We're gonna
We
be,
got
it's
the
all gonna
world,
be,
you got the
yeah.
universe. We got them covered.
We'll make them both better. We'll make it a
Yes.
better place, you know?
It's all about being better. So, but you've got so many great resources on here, some free things, obviously some paid things, but I love that you're pushing people to seek the next level, right? Our next level of us. How do we level up? How do we just become the better versions, not than someone else, but the better version of ourself? That's truly the message that I get from this. So I know our listeners will want to check out all of this, the podcast, the book club, the Next Level Nation, the community, all of the things that are on here, y'all. Check it out. Nextleveluniverse.com is where you can find him on the web. And then, of course, you're everywhere. Social media, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Google. You guys are just showing up and really serving big. So thank you for what you're doing. And I do see in all your pictures, like there's men, there's women, all ages. So you're really reaching a huge, huge, casting a wide net, as they say. So thank
Thank
you for
you
doing
so much. I feel so honored and respected and appreciated because you very clearly did your research. Just thank you. Yeah, we're doing a lot. We are martyrs at work. No,
that.
we're trying not to martyr ourselves, but It is. It's we just want self-improvement, holistic self-improvement, health, wealth, and love. And if you're interested in that or you want to grow and scale a business, I'm here. You can email me. You can go to the website. Like you said, we have a book club. We do monthly meetups every month for free. We do a lot of free stuff. We've got a lot of paid stuff too. And just thank you so much. This has been an honor. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So our final thing is to share one thing that is just absolutely either my joke from my past. My dad used to always say, this is saving my bacon. So what's saving your bacon, or what is something that's just making your life so much easier? We talked about this ahead. We both love The Remarkable. You actually have your own cool little journal and all kind of things. But what is your favorite thing that you want to share that's going to help our listener today?
So I had to retire my Remarkable, as we talked about. The Remarkable I do adore. My girlfriend has one. I got it for her for a gift, and she felt so seen because she's the nerdiest learner in the world. She loves it. I don't know if you've ever seen the trailer for The Remarkable. I swear James Cameron filmed that thing. I mean, it's unbelievable how well they did that. The Remarkable is great. The Remarkable 2 is what I had. But yes. I had to transition, and I'm actually, this is courageous for me because I normally don't talk about my one tool being my own thing. And this is fairly new. So we did this probably, I think Q4 of 2023, we came out with this. It's called the Next Level Dreamliner.
If you
go to Amazon and you type in Next Level Dreamliner, we'll be like the fifth one down after a couple planes and cruises.
Oh, okay. Well, good to know. Don't choose the plane or the cruise.
Yeah.
Go down.
Don't accidentally buy a plane when you're trying to get the Dreamliner. The idea of the Dreamliner is simple. So up here at the top of the mountain, there's a star, True North. I wear a necklace around my neck that represents my dreams, something of service. And that's the 10-year plus sort of pie in the sky direction dream. And that's your guide. And then you break it down into annual goals, and then you break it down into quarterly goals, and then you break that down into what we call inch pebbles. So it's big dreams, goals, annual, and then milestones quarterly, and then inch pebbles, which is daily habits. Helps you. Yeah, go ahead.
Inch pebbles play so well into moving rocks.
Exactly. Perfect.
I love it.
So this is saving my life, saving my bacon, as you so eloquently put, because it's a journal.
Mm-hmm.
That has, so on the left-hand side, there's prompts, top three gratitudes, top three most important tasks. What's your most important win from yesterday? What's your most important improvement? What's your next level nugget is what we call it. Like, what did you learn? Yeah. And then there's a blank section for notes. But I had a bunch of journals in the past and all that kind of stuff. The Remarkable was great, but I've done planners and it's so hard to sustain it because they're so big.
Mm-hmm.
This only takes me 10 minutes a day, so I can actually do it every day. And I always tell everyone at our company, I will never ever sell you something that I'm not currently using. So I have to use this. I had to retire my Remarkable. It's on Amazon and you can type it in, Next Level Dreamliner, and it should come up. We have a paperback version and a hard copy.
I love it. I love it. Well, my co-founder of our Destination Awaken also has a journal. It's called Awaken Your Potential.
Nice.
And it's a spiral. I love it as well. That is for my morning meditation time and very much like what yours is. Hers is the way her brain operates. So it has like habit hackers and, you know, all these things. But whatever your resource is that makes your life better, we just want to provide some different opportunities for you to tap into that, because there are how many billion people on the planet now? There we can't 8 billion.
We just crossed 8 billion a couple months ago. I'm a big numbers guy, so I always know
the
numbers.
There you go. Thank you.
Yep.
I was going to say 7, but 8 billion now. There's no way that Alan can serve them all or I can serve them all. So we just want to share all of these resources. You find what works for you, but just make sure that you're getting support, that you're getting help, that you're finding your tribe and getting people that you can do real life with in a way that elevates you to your next level, to help you keep moving those rocks. So Alan, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here today, for being willing to share your story and just bravely share your story with us. And to me, I know you're Alan Lazarus, but you're going to be Alan McCorkle. Like, that's just That's who you're going in my phone as, Ella McCorkle. That's who I know you as now. So
Sounds
who
good. I
knows? In
appreciate
the
it.
future, we may see your name change.
We might. I think that's a very strong possibility. And by the way, how dare you? This is the only journal out there for anyone.
I'm so sorry. This is the only one.
This is
I
the only
retract.
one.
I
There are
retract
no other
everything
good
I just said.
journals. Yeah, it's so funny. Some people, it's we could joke about it. It's just great. I love it. So,
Yeah, back to that confidence thing, Alan. You got it. You got it in spades.
thank you. Thank you. I'm
I love
trying.
it. We all could just take a little bit of that confidence and soak it up. We would all be better people for it. So if you want to learn how to reach your next level, seek out my friend Alan. You're going to love, love, love being a part of his world with him and Kevin. Is it Kevin? Did I get that right? You're just going to love these guys. They are so, so good, heart-centered leaders. So check them
Wow.
out. They've got great resources. And let us know what you think about this episode and keep following us for more amazing guests like our friend Alan today. And thank you again for being here.
Thank you, Karen. It was an honor. Thank you.
Huge thank you to Alan for joining us today. What a great conversation. I know that you had to get something out of that. It was just such a great conversation. And you can find more about Alan and the Next Level Universe at nextleveluniverse.com. Check it out, find out more about their community, and as we say, we all rise together. Now, if you'd like to know more about what I do, my coaching and how I work with women to help them with their confidence, this is a great opportunity because we've got some amazing things coming down the road. So check out coachkarengray.com. And for more episodes of The Rock Movers, you can find us on Spotify, Apple. Please like, share, subscribe so you don't miss a conversation because we have an amazing season 4 wrap up. And season 5 is going to be next level. See what I did there? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day and keep moving those rocks, one rock at a time. You got this.